The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was come into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, to all who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This morning I want to talk about water. There's a few things about water that I find interesting. Did you know that one-third of all drinkable water in North America is poured on our lawns? Did you know that one-third of all drinkable water in North America is flushed down our toilets? That's over 60% of all treated, sanitized, and delivered water that we use to A, water our lawns, or B, put right down our sewage system. Water's an interesting thing here in North America. We're abundantly blessed with it. In fact, we're so blessed with water, we might even think that it's free. If I go to McDonald's and say, "Can I have a glass of water?" there is no charge. We have water fountains all around us that we can freely enjoy the gift of water. We can pour it on our lawns. We can use it to flush our toilets. We can swim in it. Water is all around us. But water might be the most valuable thing in our world. The human body can only go for about 3 days without consuming water before death becomes imminent. We can go to close for a month without food. We can only go for about 3 days without water until our bodies can no longer survive. In fact, it might be said that water is really the building block of life. Our bodies are over 90% water. We need water. Water brings life around us in the form of our crops. It brings life to us in the form of we take it in and we are refreshed and we are nourished. Water is important. And yet for us, so richly blessed here in North America and the developed world, water is almost free. Yes, we pay a treatment fee. We pay a delivery fee. There is a base rate to water. But it seems so insignificant that we really give water away. If we put a little sugar in it, if we put a little syrup in it, then we can charge $2 for it. We can call it soda pop. If we put some grain in it, some yeast in it, and some hops in it, we can tax it and charge $4 a bottle and call it beer. But in and of itself is water. It is relatively free. This bottle cost. But the water didn't really cost. Let's say this bottle of water was $1. There was a fee to produce the bottle the water is in. There is an electricity fee to pump the water. There is a transportation fee to put it on a truck. There is a profit margin built into that for the retailer to sell it, to have a staff person give it to you. There is taxation from the government. There is an environmental fee. But none of these things affect the water itself. How do we price things in our world? How do we see value in things? On my finger, I have a golden wedding ring. Gold right now is $1,200 an ounce. Why is gold $1,200 an ounce? Can we eat gold? No. Do we make many things with gold? No. Can we burn gold to keep us warm in wintertime? No. Does gold give us transportation to take us to work? No. Gold is $1,200 an ounce because the world has said that's what gold's worth. It has a value beyond its simple utilization. It has a value beyond what it gives us. We can't eat it. It doesn't give us heat. It doesn't have a lot of mechanical or industrial uses. Most gold simply goes for things like jewelry. Gold is worth more than water. But if you were stranded on a desert island, which would you rather have? A bottle full of gold or a bottle full of water? You could live your whole life without ever owning gold. You'd only make it 3 days without having access to water. Our world puts prices on all sorts of things. Why are diamonds so expensive? Why is bread so cheap? Why does gasoline cost what it costs? A month ago, gas was $1.30 a liter. 30 days later, gas is 90 cents a liter. Has its value changed to you? Has your need to drive changed? Has the things you do with gasoline changed? No. Market forces beyond yourself have said, this product is worth X. 30 days later, market forces beyond yourself have said, this product is worth Y. But its importance to you didn't change. Your need for it didn't change. But yet the world said, its value is now different. How do we ascribe value to things? Today in our reading from Ephesians, St. Paul says that through Christ, God has adopted us as heirs to the kingdom of heaven. And he has given us a rich inheritance. Now when we think of that word rich, we think of a value ascribed to that number. If I were to say to you, what is a rich person? You might say a person with $1 million in the bank. If I asked a millionaire what's a rich person, they'd probably say a person with $10 million in the bank. If I found someone with $10 million in the bank and I said, what's a rich person? They'd say somebody with $100 million in the bank. St. Paul says to us, in Christ we have a rich inheritance. How do we put value on what we have? Today, as we hear from the Gospel of John, Christ is in the world, but Christ is not of the world. John says, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. In other words, we are being told that we are to see the world not through worldly eyes, but we are to see the world through godly eyes. We are to see richness through the lens of Christ. What value does the world put on parenthood? What value does the world put on friendship? What value does the world put on joy, on hope, on peace, on love, on prayer, on worship, on charity? There are no market forces that price these things. These things are not traded on the New York Stock Exchange or the Toronto Stock Exchange. We cannot hold these things in our RRSPs. They will not show up on a bank ledger. And so like water, that's the building block of life, we start to think that maybe these things don't really have that much value. We can't open our garage door and look at them. We can't store them in a safety deposit box. We can't trade on them. And so in the process, we start to diminish their value. We start to maybe doubt this richness that we have in Christ. Because we start to see the world through worldly eyes. We let the world define for us what things are important. The world defines our trajectory. The world tells us here is what a successful life looks like. Here is what your house should look like, your spouse should look like, your children should look like, your vehicles, your vacations, whatever it may be. And we know the price of these things. We know the value of these things, but we don't realize the cost of these things. And the cost is often shown in our relationships. The greatest things that we have don't have a financial value ascribed to them. The greatest things that we possess do not show up on a ledger or a balance sheet. This is the power of the Christian gospel, that we have been richly given all we need by God. But how are we going to live that life? If we only look to God for the gifts of the world, if we look to God for prosperity, for luxury items, if we look to God for prestige and things of vanity, then we're looking in the wrong place. These are gifts the world gives us, and we should look to the world for these things. But we will quickly realize the world offers no salvation. And here we are, the humble church. And whatever little gifts we've been given, we give away. Come to worship. For all that we have has been gifted to us, and we want to gift it to the world. Here's the body and blood of Christ. Freely come to the Lord's table. We do not put encumbrances upon you. We do not charge a fee. Because we want to operate in the kingdom of God. But maybe we should put a value on things. Because it would seem the minute we put a value on something, that thing becomes important. The minute we say, this will cost you, people quickly realize, this is what it's worth. If water was expensive, you can bet we wouldn't flush it down our toilets. If water was expensive, you can bet we wouldn't dump it on our lawns and let it spray onto the sidewalk. But it's not. It's virtually free. But yet, it's one of the most precious things that we possess. Our faith. The gospel given to us by Christ. For me, is one of the most precious things, the most precious thing that I possess. But to the world, it apparently has no value. It can't be priced. It can't be bought, and it can't be sold. I can't lord it over people. It doesn't set me apart from you. It doesn't put me in a higher class of citizenry than you. It doesn't get me invited to better parties. It doesn't take me on better vacations. It doesn't guarantee me a better room in the hospital or a better seat on the airplane. It is something foreign to me. It is something I possess because it has been given to me as an heir, as an inheritor of all that Christ has done. So let's think about an inheritance. You don't earn an inheritance. It is a gift that someone else has worked for. If you inherit the estate of someone, you have inherited their life's work. You have inherited all the hours they've toiled, the property they've purchased, the things that they possess, and now at their passing it has moved on to you. And when St. Paul says to us that we are heirs of an inheritance, this is what Paul is saying to us. Christ has done it all. And he has heaped all of this upon you. And these things are the great riches of life. Peace. How do we find peace? Through contentment. How do we find contentment? Through recognizing where we are in the world. If I'm always chasing something else, I am never content. If I am living in the world, then I'm always chasing something else. There's always something newer, something better, something more important, something else to do. I go to bed at night, never complete. But if I live in the kingdom of God, it's already been won for me. I've been greatly blessed with a knowledge of perfection beyond myself. I'm not chasing my salvation. I'm not chasing my relationship with Christ. I'm not chasing my forgiveness. I'm not chasing a knowledge of God's grace, because these things have been completely and fully given to me. And when I start from that step, then I live in the world around me, but I am not of the world around me. I do not let the world define the value of my relationships. I do not let the world define the importance of my job. I do not let the world define the perfection of my wife or my children, because God has already done this for me. My job is simply to enjoy the perfection of love that I experience as a husband, of love that I experience as a father, of love that I experience in fellowship with you as a Christian, and love that I experience as a created part of the world. And so I see the blessings of God all around me. I see the blessings of God in the sunshine that comes up every day. I see the blessings of God in water that we so freely have, in the natural gas that flows through the furnace, in the air that I breathe, in the life that I enjoy. And I'm not chasing things. I'm stopping. I'm enjoying. Look around us. If you want a New Year's resolution, consider your life. Consider the things that you are putting energy into. Are you recognizing the bountiful love of God around you? Are you seeing it not in the things the world values, but are you seeing it in the things that the Spirit values? Are you seeing it in the love of a husband, a wife, in children, in spouses, whatever it may be? Are you seeing it in the world that sustains us, the creation that blesses us, the sun that, yes, even on a day like this, warms us? Because that's what we're called to do, is to see the richness of God in these things, to stop and enjoy them, to recognize that we are part of a system. We are part of a system of creation. We are part of a system of family. We are part of a system of salvation. But that system has a leader. It has a head. It has a captain. And that person is Jesus Christ. We've been pulled out of the world. We've been pulled out of the rat race. We've been pulled out of the hamster cage, running on the wheel, getting nowhere. We've been given the power of the gospel. It says, hey, you're loved. You're blessed. You're cared for. And if you want to see that blessing, you want to see that love, you want to see the power of God caring for you, don't look at that which you don't have. Not enough money. Not enough influence. Not enough health. Not enough security. Look at that which you do have. Look at relationships. Look at creation. Look at the world. And yes, look at the good news of salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. As we sow into these things, we harvest the good news of God. And for me, that's the power of the knowledge that Christ has come into the world. Christ has shown us these things can sustain us. Christ has shown us that when all else fails, these things will surround us. Christ has shown us where to find joy. Christ has shown us where to find hope. And we find that in each other. We find that in the human experience. We find that in the world that God has blessed us with.